Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware. I've got strategies for living. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab.
You know we need them. Yeah, we need those strategies, don't we? Those strategies for living. Are you ready? You ready for your daily dose?
Oh, man. You know, I'm trying to remember, but I think I'm ready.
You know, hey, welcome, folks. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist, PLPC, Lauren Leon McMillan. I think I'm in trouble.
Oh, yeah? What
yeah,
for now?
Rhea Tuzzi's.
Yeah,
I think I'm in trouble.
A tendency to get you in trouble, you know, and that started pretty early on.
We're going to talk today, mm-hmm. and this I've been looking forward to today's program because it's on earliest memories.
Right.
I'll just let people wonder what Rhea Tuzzi's is. we'll get to that in a second, but I really think that our life strategist today, Charlotte Chun, who's got a brand new book out, it's called Earliest Memories. Mm. Is discover the psychology of memory, explore cross-cultural stories, and reconnect with your past. This is an important book.
Yeah, and I haven't seen anything like it, and I think it's so important for
today's
time.
I have not either, Lauren.
The way she's put it together is pretty
it's beautiful.
Incredible, too.
It is a very readable book. It's a beautiful book. And, I've been looking forward to the interview with Charlotte. Mm-hmm. What I'm not looking forward to is to be analyzed, and you know, I'm really concerned about my particular first mm-hmm. memory. Mm-hmm. I'll just say,
okay. I think she'll have some wise words for you.
You think she will?
I think so.
I've always tried to figure it out for a long, long time now, and I haven't been able to do it. Charlotte Chun, our life strategist today here on Strategies for Living. Got to get this book, folks. It's called Earliest Memories. We appreciate you being with us, and we appreciate our sponsors who make it all possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX, the Balanced Life Wellness Center, and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, alligator, Italian sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. Back in a moment, what is your earliest memory? Think about that over break. We're going to have a test when we come back, and we'll compare. I bet you can't beat mine. Charlotte Chun, our life strategist today, here on Strategies for Living. Come back with us.
Tune in daily, find the light. Healthy mind and spirits bright. Strategies for living strong. Feel the vibe, it won't go wrong.
And welcome in. Welcome into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Let's welcome into the program now Charlotte Chun, who is a psychologist and nonfiction writer, spends her time traveling as a digital nomad, helping people reconnect with their true self to tap into their core identity through therapy, coaching, and style consultations. She believes that we are each the author of our own life story. I love that. Mm-hmm. And that the memories we carry in our body and soul, both beautiful and painful, hold the power to heal us. Charlotte Chun, welcome. Welcome to Strategies for Living.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Looking forward to the conversation today.
Yeah, we're glad to have you.
We are happy you're here. You know, going back, and this is a long time ago, back to graduate school, I remember more than one course being, you know, asked the question to consider, what's your earliest memory? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've already heard my earliest memory. I don't know that you understand it at all.
You've got to learn what these reyatusis are.
Well, you know, I couldn't have been. I was in a baby bed. Mm-hmm. And my first memory, Charlotte, it feels like I'm already on her couch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. But so
that happens.
You must exude that psychologist therapist thing, right?
I tend to draw things out of people. What can I say?
So I was in the baby bed, and it was so frustrating for both me and my family, and I kept yelling, emphasizing. Reattusis. And nobody, I pointed at the TV. We had an old black and white, you know, back in the day. Mm-hmm. It was a black and white TV with the rabbit ears because you only got 2.5 stations if you lived in Shreveport.
Right.
I remember very well my mother, my father, my brother, my sister. Coming up to the baby bed and you know, they wanted to know what in the world is he saying. So they figured out it was a TV program. So I Love Lucy, Make Room for Danny. They, you know, Father Knows Best. Everyone, no, reattusis. Well, one day the reattusis were on, and I'm jumping up and down, and I'm pointing at the TV, and my mother comes in, and she sees the Three Stooges. So anyway, am I a sick man? Am I just beyond help?
Yet to be determined.
I was afraid she would say that. What was it, Charlotte, that... You've got a great book here. Mm-hmm. What was it that helped you to decide, I want to write a book on earliest memories?
So I would say the book was born out of the project and not the other way around.
Oh, okay.
So this has been over a decade long passion project of mine.
Okay.
That started out just, you know, completely for fun. I would ask friends and family members, what is your earliest memory? just as a way, a conversation starter, you know, a way to get to know somebody, go a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
And the stories that I heard were just so interesting.
I bet.
I just kept asking the question.
Yeah.
And eventually I had, in graduate school, I had a professor who encouraged us to do some writing for the general public, right? So many academics tend to publish in scientific journals and, you know, a lot of people, there's such a fascinating work out there that a lot of people just never get to read.
Right. Right.
So Dr. Paul Sylvia at UNC Greensboro, he encouraged us to consider sharing our work with the world.
Yeah.
But instead of the research that I was working on in graduate school, I was like, you know, I've got something that I feel like really would connect with people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had some business cards printed up with the question on there, what is your earliest memory? And I would leave them around town, and I started to get some email responses of people, strangers, you know, sending in their earliest memory.
Yeah.
And I had always loved, I don't know if you all have seen Post Secret. It was popular many years ago, where people would initially send in postcards with their secrets on it anonymously.
I'm familiar with that.
You've
yes.
heard it. It's great. You know, they've got books out.
Yeah.
They've got, I believe, a blog. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And so I had the idea that this could be like Post Secret, but for your childhood memories, your oldest thing that can that you can connect with in your memory.
Why is this? It's fascinating. And I bet you've got some stories. I hope you'll share some of them with us. Why is remembering, why is recalling the first memory a very important thing for all of us to reconnect with?
That first one is so tricky because so many people have trouble pinpointing, you know, what's actually the earliest.
The first one?
Exactly. Yeah. Like maybe from age 3 or 4, you might have several memories from around the same time period.
Mm-hmm.
And so how are you to say, you know, this is the first one?
Right.
And so I think what tends to happen is when someone reflects on this question, the one that stands out to them as the one, the earliest, it tends to be significant for some reason, which is probably why it maybe stands out more than some of the others that might have been around the same time period.
Right.
Right.
And so there's something about that memory that stuck with you over those years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that speaks to the importance of it.
Yeah. Yeah. You even go into some of the science of like what makes it sticky, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what are some of those things that make a memory sticky?
Sticky. Yeah. I love that term. Sticky memories.
Yeah.
Yeah. So two of the big factors that we talk about in the book are emotions and sensations. Mm-hmm. So emotional memories, again, you know, thinking about how these are processed in the brain, emotional memories get flagged as important.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Typically because that's our brain's way of trying to set ourselves up for success in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever kind of emotion we had, that's information.
Yeah.
If there's something that makes us angry
or frustrated,
you know,
or like frustrated like me. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want to be able to conquer that obstacle in the future. So your brain's gonna put like it's almost like a little flag on it.
Mm-hmm.
And those emotional memories get encoded more strongly, so to speak.
Yeah.
Mm. And tied into our emotions are the things that we, you know, see, hear, feel, touch, experience, smell, and engage with the world around us.
Right.
So a lot of the memories in the collection are very heavy on these sensations.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, one of my earliest ones is more sensorial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was like, I can remember from the child view seeing a disco floor, the bright colored squares on the floor and all the feet dancing. And I think I've figured out over the years, I was at a wedding in like downtown Shreveport in one of the big buildings. And that must have been where that was happening. Mm-hmm. But it always is funny to me to see from that angle, to remember the feet and the bright floor and then looking out the window at all of Shreveport from that view. So, yeah, I think one of mine is more sensorial.
Yeah, we've even had some fun with that one because back in the day, I used to DJ
some
dances.
And at the same, that place.
And,
I forgot we made that connection.
Yeah, we made the connection that I did a wedding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
at, you know, one of the downtown buildings in one of the clubs back in the day, I think University Club or, you know, Shreveport Club or something. But anyway, well,
who knows? Maybe it was the wedding.
Yeah.
maybe we met before you knew it.
Yeah.
We've had some fun with it. So, you know, there's, and that's the thing that I really like that you've done with the book. And that is, there's an element of fun in here, along with the element that is so important, which is connecting to ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How big and important is to connect with the self?
I mean, to me, that's everything. But I'm biased. Yeah, that's sure. my life's work.
I think everybody around this table is biased. And I would ask, how many, you know, and Charlotte, I'm not going to put you on the spot. Lauren, I'll ask you too. Estimate, how many of us really do connect with the truly connect with the self? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I could be more hopeful and say most, but I think we're long, long ways from
I would say it's 10% or less.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about that.
What a better world it could be if we begin that. And I thank Charlotte for, you know, putting this work out and helping us to do that.
Wait, and I don't know if you would agree with me here, Charlotte, but that connection, that to reconnect with the self, I think earliest memory can be an important doorway into doing that work. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our memories from across our entire life, you know, are potent ways to tap back into who we are and what we think about ourselves.
Yes.
But especially those early memories that happen during formative years, both during childhood and, you know, in the book, we don't go quite as much into adolescence, but those are the years when we're forming our sense of identity and figuring out who we are that are going to shape those stories we tell about ourselves for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. There you go.
And it really becomes who we are.
And yep. We are, we're in process after all. This is an important book. It's a fun book. It's a great read. It's called Earliest Memories: Discover the Psychology of Memory, Explore Cross-Cultural Stories, and Reconnect. Reconnect with your past. Charlotte Chun, our life strategist, Dr. Charlotte Chun.
That's right.
And we'll be back with more here on Strategies for Living. Stay with us. To Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, with Dr. Charlotte Chun today, our life strategist. And man, does she have a great first book. It's called Earliest Memories. Discover the Psychology of Memory, Explore Cross-Cultural Stories, Reconnect with Your Past. Charlotte, where's the book available? Where can people get a copy of Earliest Memories?
The book's available through my website, www.earliestmemoriesbook.com. It's also available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other major retailers online.
Fantastic.
And I've got the Kindle and audiobook versions coming out soon, which I'm really excited about.
Exciting. Wonderful.
So stay tuned for those.
Wonderful. But in the meantime, folks, get a copy.
Yeah.
You're going to have fun. You're going to learn about yourself. This is an open doorway. So Earliest Memories is the name of the book. Charlotte Chun, C-H-U-N. So was this a 5-year, 10-year, you mentioned project. How long did this, were you collecting these? And I know you collected a bunch that aren't in the book, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so over 10 years, I mean, I continue to collect them. My hope is that we can get a blog going on the website.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm also sharing them on social media.
Yeah.
So even though the book is published, it's an ongoing process. And even if, you know, it's just fun to hear the stories. So sure. I continue to ask people those questions.
If people want to send you, but is the earliestmemoriesbook.com the website that they would connect with you and send a memory if they so desire?
That's right. Yeah, they can share the memory through the website. You can also email it to contact@earliestmemoriesbook.com.
This is, inquiring minds want to know.
Right.
So, or maybe it's just my sick mind. Could be either. What's the weirdest? What's the weirdest first memory that you've collected? You've collected a lot of them.
Right.
Yeah. What's the weirdest
there
one?
There have been some kooky ones for sure. One of my favorites that's also a little bit, a little out there, a little fun and silly, is the turtle memory. You may recall from the collection.
Yep.
So there's a little girl who finds her brother's turtle in his room.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I know that I'm not supposed to play with it. I'm not supposed to touch it, but I really want to. So she goes in and grabs the turtle out of the bowl. And she said, I remember that, you know, speaking back to the sensations,
mm-hmm.
she said, I can remember the sort of gravel in the bowl and the way that it smelled.
Mm-hmm.
And she grabs the turtle and takes it outside because she said there was a puddle outside near the house that I really wanted the chance to watch this turtle swim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she's out there with the turtle. And then suddenly she realizes that her mother is approaching. And here we go, speaking to emotions.
Yeah.
She says, I remember that terrible feeling.
That feeling in the tummy, right?
Sick to my stomach, that anxious feeling of knowing that I had done something I was asked not to do.
And
right?
I got caught. And I'm about to get
like,
caught.
I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
We can all relate to that.
Yep. Yeah.
And she says, I'm looking up at my mother and she's, you know, towering over me because I'm so small.
Mm-hmm.
And in my anxiety, I put the turtle in my mouth to try to hide it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's just so innocent, right?
Yeah.
Those things we do as kids, you know, we're just doing our best.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
And we can all relate to that.
Absolutely.
Bits and pieces
bits
of that
and pieces
one,
of it,
sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You also collected memories from across cultures, right? So what is something that surprised you about memories across cultures?
I mean, to be honest, the most surprising thing is how universal they were.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of, you know, variation from culture to culture.
Yeah.
Obviously, the places and the content could be a little bit different.
Sure.
Maybe there are some unique cultural experiences, like there's one set in Colombia where mm-hmm. they're staying, you know, the adults stay up all night dancing, and I guess that could happen anywhere. But really the themes that you find across cultures, they're the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of memories of being with family, of playing outside, you know, it's really relatable, I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
When is it important to remember? And when is it important? Is it ever important to forget memories?
Great question. You know, I've asked a lot of people. So we talk about hyperthymesia in the book, or HSAM, highly superior autobiographical memory.
Okay.
These are people who can remember almost every detail of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's really astounding. And so in having discussions with people who've read the book, I'll often ask them, you know, if you could take a pill and have that ability and just remember everything from all aspects of your life, would you do it?
Mm.
And a lot of people say no.
Yeah.
Forgetting is important.
It's
maybe
a protective
our
mechanism,
brain has mercy
it?
On us sometimes.
Yeah.
There are things we'd rather not think about.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. you know, as a psychologist, when you work with people therapeutically, is the first memory an important piece of information for you to know to be able to begin your work with a client?
Not just the first memory per se, but certainly we tend to talk about things that came up during childhood. Mm-hmm. You might almost say those core memories.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So the early memories that just really impacted you. And they can be positive things, right? When you mm-hmm. discovered something amazing about yourself. Or a lot of times, you know, in therapy, people are coming in to talk about wounds.
Yep.
And things that trigger us now are definitely the things that hurt us during childhood. Mm-hmm. And so those early memories tend to come up a lot. I'm sure you all experience the same with
absolutely.
Your clients.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What you've collected memories, as we mentioned a moment ago, all over the world. What's mm-hmm. what's the furthest place that you have a memory from? You're originally a Shreveport,
right?
You know, a Shreveport native.
Yeah.
Glad to have you back here for a little while.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be back in town.
What's the most far-flung place that you collected a memory from?
So if you think about the other side of the world, we are sorely missing some memories from East Asia. So if there's anyone listening who grew up in Asia and would love to share a memory, I would love to have that culture represented.
Yeah.
We do have South Asia. There's memories from India. There's memories from Eastern Europe, from Africa. Australia, I guess, is probably the farthest that we have.
Yeah.
But I'd love to get more from different countries as well.
Sure.
Yeah. Charlotte, you mentioned sensual earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Are memories generally packed with all of the senses? Taste and smell and touch and vision and hearing, are do we tend to, you know, favor one of our senses?
Yeah, so each person is a little different the way whatever their brain gravitates towards. You know, some of us are more visual, mm-hmm. more auditory in the way that you've heard about visual learners.
Right.
So we tend to go towards those types of memories.
Mm-hmm.
But when the information is getting encoded or just when our brain is, you know, saving that information to remember later, all the senses are getting basically integrated together into one holistic memory.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain senses that can trigger those memories a lot more powerfully. And I'm sure, you know, people have heard that your sense of smell is a really powerful one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, the smell of grandma's house or the cookies baking. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It takes us right back.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do some of us wall off our memories?
Yes, we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's interesting because you might not be aware of what you don't know or what you can't access.
Right.
But I've personally worked with a lot of clients, especially, you know, doing a lot of trauma therapy in my practice, and worked with people who have this vague sense that I feel like something happened to me or there was something difficult that I just can't quite access. And like Lauren said earlier, sometimes that can be protective.
Yeah. Our memories can be false too, right? They can be written incorrectly. How can we, I remember learning about that in my learning and memory class,
right.
And how astounded I was that, like, oh my gosh, the things I remember might not even be true.
Right.
And so what do we do with that? How can we have compassion and curiosity around false memories, and why are they still important even if they aren't accurate?
Yes. Oh, compassion. That's, I love that you said that, because I think that's the key. Mm-hmm. You know, I give some examples in the book of how this can play out in real life scenarios. And we've all fallen prey to this. You know, we really think that we're remembering things how it happened. And you might have a friend or a partner who, you know, swears it went down differently.
Right.
And you're like, they're not right. But it's a lot of the times it's us. And so I think both, you know, letting your ego take a backseat and realizing that maybe you don't remember correctly, but also when it happens with other people, just having that compassion, like you said, and realizing our memories are not designed to be perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
It happens to all of us. It's just part of being human.
They're not designed to be like a, you know, like a I'm dating myself, but like a VCR. Or,
exactly.
You know, a digital recording, I guess, would be more current.
No, because every time we take them out, we have to re-encode them, right?
Absolutely.
And so we're rewriting them all the time.
Exactly. Mm. They get updated based on your current mood, your understanding of the world, your new perspectives. So they're never set in stone.
But again, that's something that is important for all of us to know if we're and be curious about.
Mm-hmm.
if we're wanting to grow ourselves and get in touch more with the self. Yeah.
That's right.
I can also hear a question about this too. Like, if it could be false, why then is the first memory so important, even if it might not even be accurate? Right. Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, there have been studies to come out where scientists suggest that, even the way they phrase it, they say your first memory is likely false. And that's such a downer to hear, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we put together stories from photos we've seen,
right,
maybe compilations of family stories, and it's hard to tell sometimes what's been our own experience. Yeah.
The book is called Earliest Memories. Charlotte John is the author. It's available wherever you buy books, and it's available at earliestmemoriesbook.com. We've got more. We've got more to learn from Dr. Charlotte John today on Strategies for Living. Don't go away.
We all have problems every day. We all need help along the way. We need strategies, strategies, strategies for living radio.
And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, our life strategist today. She's a good one. Charlotte Chun, Dr. Charlotte Chun, Earliest Memories is her book. Discover the psychology of memory. Explore cross-cultural stories and reconnect with your past. Okay, story time. Story time, Charlotte. Been waiting for this.
Yes.
Okay, so what stands out for you? What do you want to share with us?
There's so many sweet memories in here. There's some difficult ones, too, in the collection, right? Which reflects the reality of life. But there's a lot of really precious ones that stand out to me. And another one of my favorites is about a little boy who describes his experience of going to a cafe for the first time. So he's there with his mum. I believe this was a set in the UK.
Yeah.
So
right.
He's there with his mum and his younger brother.
Right.
And they go to the cafe, and it's just an extremely exciting experience. So he describes, you know, we're sitting on these red leather seats, and I'm looking across the counter, and I'm seeing these men work with something white and kind of stretchy. And I asked my mom, you know, what could that be? And she says that it's dough, possibly for pizza. And they order sandwiches, they get a fizzy drink, and it's just a really nice day for them. And then he talks about leaving the cafe and walking outside and feeling really proud about having just gone to a cafe for the first time. And he says, you know, there's a word that I didn't know at the time, but I felt very sophisticated. And to me, it just speaks to the novelty that you can have when you're younger.
Yeah.
You know, as adults, we've done so much and seen so much. It's nice to go out to eat, but it's maybe not quite as exciting these days
as
when you're younger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just love that, you know, the joy that little kids can get out of something completely simple.
Yeah, and being fully present to all the sensations that were there.
Yeah.
And that's something I think we could all use a refresher on.
Absolutely, that mindfulness.
You mentioned family, Lauren. You mentioned, you know, that families can do this and use this.
Yeah, so how can families use memory sharing, you know, across generations to connect or maybe even heal?
Such a great question. I think it's so special to learn from, especially from the generations above us who have a lot of wisdom. You know, I used to work in the hospital and I worked in the hospice unit. And a lot of the therapy that we would do with people who were dying was, we call it meaning-making therapy. And they would tell these big, important stories from their lives. And we would talk about what meaning do you draw from it now, looking back.
Right.
And it's, you know, inevitably you hear it's not about the successes I had. It's not about, you know, what I accomplished at work. It's the people in your life that matter. So learning that from people who have been through things and just hearing their wisdom, I think that's a really important part. You know, oral storytelling has been part of families and generations across so many cultures, you know, forever.
What's a memory, a story that has made you laugh the most?
Oh, there's so many good ones. One that it's just, again, it's so innocent. It just makes me giggle. There's one of a little kid, and he says, I'm down in the laundry room, and the room's kind of dimly lit, and I've got this bottle of laundry detergent in front of me. And I'm picking away at some of the dried detergent on the bottle. And it's blue. I can kind of smell the smell a little bit. And I felt so mischievous because I thought that I'm doing something naughty and getting away with it. I think it's just so sweet, right? You know, that not having a concept of yet maybe of right and wrong or of what's socially acceptable. And just that, you know, juicy mischievousness that you have when you're a kid.
Wait, does it tell you anything, you know, and I'm thinking about the biggies, right? Mad, sad, happy, fear. Does it tell you anything in terms of about yourself? What I remember first, you know, is it a, in my case, I had a frustrating first memory, right? I wasn't exactly mad, but it was frustrating, you know?
Yeah, and I'm not sure actually the research on this, but it to me it makes sense. And as a therapist, you know, it makes sense that the emotions or the style that we tend towards would also be the kind of early memories that we hang on to, right? So if you were really a happy-go-lucky kid, maybe you're someone who submitted one of the memories of, you know, running through the field with your legs kicking up in the sunshine or sitting on the ground and playing with your toy ponies, some of those really like idyllic childhood memories. And if you tend to be a little more melancholic or, you know, focused on your inner world, maybe you're the kid that's, you know, playing alone in the corner and you've got a lot of those maybe more solitary memories or more sad or difficult times. I think that rings true.
And again, you know, earliestmemoriesbook.com. And, you know, you're continuing. I hope there's going to be a second and third book as you continue to collect these memories, these stories.
I would love to put more of these memories out into the world. And I am actually working on a second book right now. So the book is called Soul Memories. And these are actually adult memories. So, you know, from any point in your life. But I'm starting to ask people, what's a moment that really touched your soul? Whether you're, you know, a spiritual person and it's a certain spiritual moment, or just anything that really marked you with joy or maybe an aha moment. So I'm really excited to learn what comes from those.
That'll be really neat. I'll be interested to hear those.
Me too.
And then I think it's such an important connector of people. What you're doing, and I hope people will go get the book, obviously. Hope they'll go to the website and maybe think about adding, you know, and giving a memory. That everything's, you know, everything's anonymous.
Definitely.
So, you know, you don't have to worry about that. And, you know, so, but, you know, I do want to warn people. I read at night. And so you owe me sleep. The problem with your book, there aren't many. But the problem with your book is it's hard to put it down. So you owe me some sleep, Charlotte. I hate to tell you that.
Well, one of our most precious resources these days.
Exactly. But, you know,
besides our memory.
I mean, you know, I found it positive to read some of these stories and then go off to sleep. I'm not even sure. Maybe I dreamed about some of them.
You were seeding your own memory.
There you go. Earliest Memories. Charlotte Chun, Discover the Psychology of Memory, explore cross-cultural stories, and reconnect with your past. Check out the website, earliestmemoriesbook.com. But get the book, Earliest Memories, wherever you buy a book, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, whatever. And we'll be back. We'll be back in a moment with Dr. Charlotte Chun here on Strategies for Living. And welcome back in. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, Dr. Charlotte Chun, our life strategist today. You got to get this book, folks, Earliest Memories. And it's available wherever you buy book. You'll have a lot of fun with this, and you'll learn a lot about yourself and others that you share the book with, too. EarliestMemoriesBook.com. is where you can contribute your own memory, if you like, and add to the menagerie.
Charlotte, what do you
want people to take away from our conversation and your work?
So my hope is that people would take a little time to sit with their own memories from the past, especially from childhood. That's been one of the most rewarding things, hearing from readers that as they read the collection, a lot of their own memories start kind of flooding back in.
Yes.
Even people who thought...
Memories beget memories.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Even some people who thought they don't recall a lot from childhood. So there's a lot of wisdom that your memories carry and that your body carries. And if you take the time to sit with it and to honor it, it will speak to you. You know, allow yourself to feel the emotions that come back up, the sensations, and you might be surprised at what you can learn.
Charlotte, thank you so much for the work you're doing and what you're putting out into the world. Thank you for being a great life strategist today on Strategies for Living. I hope you'll come back.
I would love to.
Okay, maybe you'll come back and analyze me.
Good luck. Yeah.
Folks, thank you for being with us here on Strategies for Living. We appreciate you. We do this for you each and every day. And we can do it because of our wonderful sponsors, the Robinson Film Center, and Azalea Cleaners, and Pintail Roofing, and Learning RX, and the Balanced Life Wellness Center, and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, alligator Italian sausage, and some pretty good muffies. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make, who would you call? What would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Dr. Charlotte Chun, for Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.